We want to look in John chapter 9 this morning, John chapter 9, and we want to give you just a few thoughts this morning. We've titled this message, Where I Was Blind, Now I See. And so we want to read the first portion of John chapter 9, the first few verses, and then we're going to share a message with you this morning. Verse 1 of John chapter 9, the Bible says, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And Jesus said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is being interpreted sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. And then I want to drop down to verse 25 of that same chapter that the Bible says, He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for those that are here this morning. We thank you for those that are viewing online this morning. And Lord, we lift up the ones that aren't able to be here for various reasons. We pray that you'll meet needs, those that are hurting physically, those that are struggling. And Lord, we pray that you'll help those. Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning as you've laid upon my heart what you would have me to say. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior, speak to that heart and Lord, cause them to realize. And Lord, for those that need to get a little closer to you that just seem to be wandering, Lord, I pray for them. But Lord, I ask that you meet needs this morning here and those that are viewing. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for all things, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Where I was blind, now I see. This man went from total darkness to an amazing light. And if we're not getting anything else this morning, I will say two words. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. The idea of that day and the idea of that time period, things happened because of something else. And so what I'm referring to is the question that the disciples asked Jesus. Who did sin? Was it the one that experienced blindness or was it his parents? In other words, the thought process was that if you do something, you're going to get something in return. In other words, if you commit a wrong in your life or you commit sin in your life or you commit something in your life, that the outcome is going to be devastation such as this blindness. And so calamities and sufferings, they believed was the result of a greater sin. And so that's the question, the reason the question was given to Jesus. But you see, Jesus used this man's blindness and this man's condition to literally teach about faith and glorifying God. Now, we sing a hymn occasionally, and it's called Amazing Grace. And the words of a portion of this hymn goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As we think about the words of this song, if we stop and truly meditate, we can relate to a tremendous amount of blindness, darkness. And when Jesus came into our hearts to save us, we saw the great light, because Jesus is the light. But there are many that are walking a life of darkness. We think of this passage of Scripture and we consider a person that is blind physically. And we might not be able to relate to that darkness physically. We may have experienced sometime in our life being in total darkness, maybe a concealed room with no lights, and we can kind of sense a darkness. You might could go out and at night, and when there's no stars or no moon or no lights from anywhere, we might can try to relate to total darkness. But you see, this man was blind physically. But there's also individuals that are this blind spiritually, that they're walking in total darkness. And there's a reality that this man was born into darkness, because he was born this way from birth. And he's born in total darkness until the eyes were opened and Jesus did this. So I want to give you just a few points this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. And I want us to kind of consider what was taking place. Consider those that were looking on, because, you know, I've learned this. Somebody's always watching. We may think that we're by ourselves, and we may think that we're doing things our own way, but someone's always watching. Someone is always getting their ideas and casting their opinions in their thoughts of this is happening because of this, or this is happening because of that. So I can only imagine those that were observing what was taking place. Even the disciples asked Jesus, when they considered this man and his blindness, they were more concerned about what caused it rather than the one that was suffering, rather than the one that was in the darkness. So the first point I'd like to make this morning is this: the reality of this man. The reality of this man. You see, the reality of this blindness that this man faced was the fact that he was born blind. He was born blind. He never experienced any kind of sight. He never experienced what it was like to see his mother or see his father, or maybe he had brothers and sisters, or never experienced that. Never experienced the joy of seeing color. He was simply born blind. How would you describe color to someone who knows no color? How would you describe the color blue for someone who's never seen color or never experienced color? How would you describe the sunset when they've never seen the sun? How would you describe the sunrise when they've never experienced light? How would you describe clouds and cloud cover? How would you describe the stars? How would you describe a tree? How would you describe what a leaf looks like? A mountain stream. And although there's a lot of hearing, and you could hear a mountain stream, but how would you express the clearness of a mountain stream? Maybe you might think to yourself, well, that's an impossible task. Because how can they relate to something that they've never seen? How can I describe something that I've experienced myself, but how can I describe it for someone who's never experienced any of those things? How can it take place? No matter how much he wanted to see, he was still blind. He was still blind. Do you realize that someone in his condition, as we consider the blindness, do you realize that he thought differently than the people that could see? His ideas were different. His thought process was different. He perceived things differently. He understood things differently. He experienced things differently. That's the condition he was in. There was nothing that he could do about the blindness within himself. There was no one else that could do anything. His mother, his father, they're mentioned in this passage of Scripture. And although his sight was given, and I don't want to use necessarily the word restored because he never had it, but I'd like to use the word his sight was given to him, and yet his mother and father strayed away because of their questioning that had taken place. But they were helpless. And he was literally at a helpless state. Do you realize this morning that many are just like this man that's blind? When we start talking about Jesus, or when we start talking about different things that we're involved in and different things that we love and the hymns and those type of things that we rejoice about and those things that we are thankful for and salvation, then there's a lot of people that's going to look at you because they don't understand. They're full of blindness like this one. Kind of like trying to describe what the blue color looks like for someone who's never seen blue. They're not going to understand the burden of sin and how it can be lifted in Christ. You see, that's where Jesus is the only one that can change a person. You see, there's no understanding with a lost and dying world, and there's no understanding of that true light. There's no understanding of the hope that we have, but I'm thankful. And I'll get to this point in just a few moments, but I'll say this. I'm thankful that Jesus passed by. I'm thankful that it was Jesus that made the change in this man's life, that Jesus made a difference in that man's life, and therefore it's important that we lift up the name of Jesus. It's important that it's Jesus that we promote. It's important that it's Jesus is the one that makes a difference. So we see this man's blindness. He was helpless, but we also see that this man was broken. He was broken. Verse 8, the Bible says, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, and that he had previously been sitting, and he was begging." You see, this man relied on begging. and he relied on others to try to give him help. Now I can just imagine, because people are people and sin's sin, so I can just imagine with him being blind, if someone dropped a coin or dropped a little help in maybe a basket that he had, that someone else might reach in there and try to pick it up because of his blindness. Because that's man's heart. Man would do something such as that. But even with the giving, there was limits. They were limited. He wasn't able to provide for himself. He wasn't able to help himself. Now, nowadays, a person's still blind, but there are some helps that a person can get to try to live. But they didn't have things like that back then. But in reality, whether there's helps or not, that person's still blind. That person's still blind. So he relied on others to show some kindness, and he relied on others to show some type of mercy. Keep in mind that many thought he was blind because of sin. Many took the approach that, oh, he's in that condition because of something he did wrong. He's in that condition because of something his parents did. He's in that condition, and I'm sure with that kind of frame of mind, there were many people that weren't willing to help. And sometimes it's easy to have that thought process when in reality, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us was at one time blind. The idea was that he put himself in that state, and all this blindness was caused. It's easy for us to look at folks and look at the conditions that they're in. It's easy for us to shake our heads and say, how can this be? How can this happen? Why would this happen? And things like that and thoughts like that, when in reality, they just need Jesus. They just need. Brother Jim did the rescue mission last night, and we usually alternate, but you know, I've seen, and we've been going to the rescue mission for years and years and years, and you see the condition of those individuals, and many of those individuals have really hit rock bottom. And I'm glad that there's a place that they can try to receive help, and we can be a part of that in our giving to support the mission. And I'm thankful for that. But do you, even in the midst of hitting rock bottom, there are still individuals that don't want any help. I was talking to an individual, it's been several years ago, at the rescue mission, he was asking me, and of course I referred him to the director, but he was asking me, he says, how come they make me go to church? Because they have chapel services. He said, how come they make me? He said, I just need some help. I don't need none of this. And he was talking about how that it wasn't right and this kind of thing. And when in reality, what he don't realize is he needed what they had to offer, which was Jesus. But you see, he was blind. He was blind. He didn't understand. It's not until Jesus gets a hold of a person's heart that a change makes a difference. And that a change takes place. It's not until Jesus gets a hold of an individual. You see, the finished product or the ideas, individuals think that they're concerned about the finished product rather than the one that needs Christ. You see, so many people do the things that they do because they need Jesus. So I never got upset at this individual. I never got upset at him because of some of the things that he said. I just knew that God needed to get a hold of his heart. You see, this man in his blindness was a man with no hope within himself. This man in this darkness was in a condition that he could do nothing about. You see, darkness was this man's life. Darkness was this man's life. For this man, one would say life has no meaning because of the darkness, because of the darkness that he was in. For this man, there was a lot of judgment. And the reason I believe that there was a lot of judgment was because of the questions that the disciple asked, because of the thought process of that day, was he was blind because of something else. So for this man, he was being judged. But the one that was able to judge him gave him sight. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. For this man, it was a world of darkness. It was a world of darkness who knew no light, who couldn't comprehend light, couldn't comprehend what life would be without being in darkness. So number three, he was right where he needed to be. You say, how can we say that? How can we think that way? He was right where he needed to be. It didn't matter what others thought. It didn't matter what other ideas individuals had. He was right where he needed to be. It didn't matter of the criticism that he must have felt. The words, because they say, when a person experiences the senses, one of the senses, if you lose, taste, smell, and those senses that we have, it's been said that if a sight is lost or a sight is missing, then something else becomes stronger. Another sense becomes stronger. So in this case, I can imagine in my mind that this man's hearing was very good. And I'm sure he heard the mumbling because he was sitting there begging. And as passerbyers go, maybe some would drop a coin in, or maybe some would drop something in. Maybe someone else would take what was dropped in. And then others would say, they would shun him and say, well, he's this way because. He's this way because of this, and he's this way because of that. Almost like they're the judge of the reason that he was in this condition. You see, it didn't matter what others thought. It didn't matter about the criticism. It didn't matter what others might say about him. But he was right where he needed to be for Jesus to work. He was right where he needed to be for Jesus to make a difference. You see, he was blind. He was broken. He was a beggar. But yet he was right where he needed to be. And the reason I know he was right where he needed to be is by what verse 1 says. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Jesus had zero in on this man. Jesus had passed by, and he was right where he needed to be for Jesus to work. Sometimes in life, we don't understand certain things. Sometimes in life, we question certain things. Sometimes in life, we're confused by the things that's happening around us. But maybe if we took a different approach and say, maybe we're right where we needed to be for Jesus to work. Maybe we need to hit, in a sense, the bottom to be able to look up. You see, he was blind at birth and he never experienced light. He didn't know what it looked like. He couldn't comprehend it. We may not know how many years this man was blind. We may not know how this man lived necessarily, other than just the culture of that day and what the Bible teaches. But with Jesus, Everything was getting ready to change. Everything was getting ready to change for this man. Yes, he endured suffering. Yes, he endured misery. Yes, he endured darkness in his life. Yes, it was hard for him. It was hard. But that's all he understood. That's all he understood. You ever been talking to someone and you're trying to help them and they're talking to you about a situation or maybe the condition that they're in life? And you try to encourage them and you try to lift them up and you try to help them and you try to maybe even give them a verse to proclaim and you just try to help them. But in reality, that person may say they won't help, but in reality, maybe they don't want help because that's the only life they know. That's the only life they know is the misery that they're in. And maybe they're afraid to step out on faith. Maybe they're afraid to say, I know where I've been, but I know who can help me get out. You know, I've talked to individuals like that, and you can talk to them for hours and hours and hours and hours, but in reality, they don't really want to change. They don't really want to change. I was talking to a coworker many, many years ago, and he was trying to give up a bad habit. And so he was telling me, he said, I went to, be hypnotized, whatever that means. And he spent $90 to be hypnotized. And so after about the first 2 days, he said, hey, I'm fixed. It's work. I'm better. And then all of a sudden he started this habit again. And so he said, I'm going to have to go back. It didn't work. And so he went back and spent another $90 trying to kick this habit. And then a few days went by and I said, and it didn't work. He said, it's just not working. And I asked him a question. I said, let me do this. I said, I've got a hammer. And I said, when you start having this thought of this bad habit that you were doing, then come over to me and let me hit your hand. And I said, maybe you'll remember. And then I asked him one important question. And that was this. I said, do you want to quit? And he said, no. And I said, you'll never find help until you have that desire of a change in your life. This man was in total darkness. He needed a change. He was tired of living in the misery of darkness. He was tired of living the life that he was living. But the Bible says, Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Jesus changed this man's life. He was helpless, but Jesus made the difference. And we read to you these verses just a few moments ago, found in verses 3 through 7. And Jesus told him. Jesus spit on the ground. Jesus made clay. And Jesus gave him a direction. He told him. He said, go to this pool of Siloam and rinse out your eyes. You see, Jesus made this clay. Verse 6 says, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man which with clay. And then Jesus gave him some important words and said, go, wash, in the pool of Siloam. He had to want the change. Jesus did the work. Jesus was the one that healed him. But he had to go as Jesus said. He had to make the decision. You know, Jesus died for all. We just celebrated the resurrection. We just celebrated the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And Jesus is standing at the door and knock, but we must open our hearts. We must open our hearts. He had to make the decision to go to wash his eyes. He had to truly want something different in his life. He had to truly want something different. Instead of being in the misery that he was in, he had to want something different. And Jesus made the difference. Jesus made the difference. It was Jesus that did the healing, but it was the man that had to have the desire to want something different. That's where life is for so many. Jesus is willing to touch hearts. Jesus is willing to touch lives. But there's so many people that's not wanting to make a change. There's so many that's not wanting. You know, when I got saved, I've told you before, when I got saved in that youth group, I didn't go to that youth group that night on that Friday night of the hayride and we had a hot dogs and those type of things. I didn't go there to be saved, but when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, I knew that I was on my way to hell and I knew that I needed to make a change. And that's when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart and He saved me. The Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And although this man experienced total darkness, now in Jesus, he experienced total light. Total light. It wasn't an artificial. It wasn't anything that man made. You know, when they first came out with the new light bulbs, they said they'll last forever and ever. But yet we're still changing them because they're artificial. The only one that can give you that true light, that can truly change your life, is Jesus. Is Jesus. This man desired something different. That's where life is for many. Many want something different. And they just need to come to Jesus. But there's also many that don't desire anything different. But I know in verse 25, the Bible says when he was questioned, and there was a lot of ridicule, and if you take the time to read the chapter, and we won't go there this morning, but if you take time to read the chapter, there were those that were criticizing Jesus for what he did. But the testimony of this man says, I know not, talking about Jesus, but one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Jesus can make a difference in your life if you have that desire, no matter what the issue is, no matter what the need is. I believe that Jesus can help. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for us. Many are living a life of darkness because they don't know anything else. But let me encourage you this morning that if the Lord spoke into your heart, Jesus can change your life. But you've got to want it. You've got to want it. You've got to be like this one that, yes, he had mud in his eyes, clay, but he had to go because Jesus said, go. Go and wash in the pool. And the Bible says, and he came back seeing. Jesus is the one that can make a difference in your life. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we look at a passage of Scripture like this morning. And Lord, we see so much darkness. We see the darkness in this man's life. We see the ridicule. We see others that are watching on, that are unconcerned, that are questioning, why is he blind? When in reality, Lord, it's you that is doing the work. It's that you may be glorified. So, Father, if there's someone here this morning that just needs to come and talk to you, that needs help in any way, I pray, Lord, that they'll not only just come, but they'll get up from the altar and by faith and say, Lord, I want something different. I'm tired of living in this darkness and this misery. I'm tired. Father, help us this morning to open our eyes to what you have for us. If there's someone that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior, Lord, will you touch that heart? But Lord, we know that there's individuals, whether they're watching or even here, that's struggling with life right now. Lord, I pray that they'll come and talk to you. And by faith, desire a change. Lord, we pray that you'll do a work in a heart and a life that you do and that you can do. We ask you have your will and way, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.